In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Whoever shall follow me, Christ says, shall deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. To take up our cross, we must deny ourselves. That's part of this that we often miss. Sometimes when we think of taking up our cross, and I've given sermons like this many occasions over the years myself, where I've encouraged people to think of the trials and difficulties of their lives as their cross. Bear them patiently, I would say. Look at all that Christ God has borne for us. And it's true. It's true. He bore everything for us. He went through all of the life of the suffering servant that he lived, including the way to the cross, bearing the load of that heavy cross and the burden of the sins of the world along the path of sorrow, the way of suffering, the Via Dolorosa, as the street is called in Jerusalem, even today. And you can go there and you can bear a cross along that path. We've seen on television videos of people carrying their cross along the path of sorrows in the way that Jesus did on his way to Golgotha, to the crucifixion. Today, if you carry one of those crosses, it leads to the tomb of Christ. You know, I've always watched those videos, and I've wondered at those magnificent crosses the people are carrying. Did they make them? Where did they come from? And I started to think about what it means in the Gospel according to St. Mark. What Jesus means when he says, if you would follow me, deny yourself and take up your cross. Follow the path that I took on the way to Golgotha. Is that what he meant? I don't think so. We know as Orthodox Christians that the thing that makes the difference is to die a death like his. He is on his way to Calvary. He is on his way to be crucified. When he says, deny yourself, die to yourself, as St. Paul says, and follow me, he means go and die and live beyond the life of this world. According to the life of this world, each one of us is most important to ourselves. We do the things that we need to do in order to make a living. In Jesus' words, to save our life. He couldn't get a job to save his life. We have to get a job so that we have something to eat. We have to have a profession. We have to get an education or learn some skill, some trade, so that we can save our lives from starvation, have a better life than we might have. Jesus is saying, if that's what you do with your life, you will die. Even if you do it very, very well, you will die. Those who save their own lives by living in that way in the world, they will die. Those who lose their lives for my sake, Jesus says, they will live. What does that mean, to lose your life for Jesus' sake? It means to die to yourself, as St. Paul says. It means to put an end to that life where we make our living about the things of this world. That person's life has got to come to an end so that we can begin to live a true and real life. That's why we are baptized into Christ's life, because that's not how he lived. And in the end, he died in order to arise to a life that he shares with all of us, a divine life. And Christians are those who share that divine life. They aren't those who admire him or believe in the teachings or read the gospel and then go and live the life that he says will lead to your death. Christians are those who die so that they can live a different kind of life. There may be some of us who have even been to Jerusalem and traveled the Via Dolorosa. You know, I wondered about this and I thought, I'll bet they rent those crosses. I mean, I don't think there's a cross manufacturing facility down there at the beginning where you can buy wood and build your own cross and carry your own self-made cross up the hill. And so I checked it out. You know, there is a shop. There are shops down there at the beginning of the Via Dolorosa where you can rent crosses. And from what I've read in blogs, you can't go to their website. It's a local operation. There are people with crosses and they rent them. Not just one person with crosses to rent. There are a number of people with crosses to rent. And there is competition for the renting of crosses. People get kind of angry about their business being taken when these Christians want to rent crosses to carry them along the Via Dolorosa. Imagine that, a rented cross. And then when you get to the end, you're a tourist, you know, and you come to the sanctuary, the church that is there to celebrate the resurrection, you return the cross to the person so that they can take it back and rent it to somebody else. What does that remind you of? Reminds me of tubing at Helen. Because that's what they do, you know. You rent your tube, go down the river, turn in your tube, they put all the tubes together, take them back, and other people go down the river. Imagine that. That's not what it's about. Now, if you took your cross and imagine, went up the hill to Calvary and were crucified there, I'll bet they wouldn't sell so many crosses. But that's what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about actually dying. We were all going to physically die in the end. We know that. Nobody escapes that. Jesus came and he changed the meaning of death. You accept to die before you get to the point that your body wears out and your body dies. If you accept death on Jesus' terms, you can live a life like his. We can do that. He made it possible. It's called salvation. You can't have it in the abstract. You have to actually live it. Hopefully, at least one time in our lives, we experience what it means to die to ourselves. And when we reach the point, sometimes we do, the point of despair, we have a choice between resurrecting our ego or letting our ego die and arising in Christ. And it's a psychological and emotional turmoil for all of us when we reach the point that we begin to doubt our abilities, or we begin to doubt the value or the worthwhile nature of the abilities that we have. And it's a crisis for that false self that is supposed to die. And we think this is real spiritual life, to feel endangered in my personal sense of self-worth. And it's time for me to go to church and find some meaning so that I can rebuild my sense of self-worth so that I can go on. And that's all not Christianity, that's something else. There is a lot of religion like that. There are versions of Christianity, so-called, that devote themselves to that and promise people that you will feel better about yourself and be more self-confident and more functional in a worldly way if you accept Christ. and that he is there to save your sense of your own value. Well, that's not what St. Paul says, and it's not what Jesus Christ says. He says, deny yourself. Deny the life that you want to live without me. That's what he did for us. What does it mean to be the one who saves us? He is the one who denies himself. He is fully God. His humanity is perfect. And he denies himself. He denies all of that, loses it, lays it down, so that we can do the same thing ourselves. And if we do, then we can arise to a life like his, an eternal life at one with Christ and at one with other Christians. That's all there is to Christianity, and anything else is just pretending, just playing at it, not doing it, living like children. And these are pretty meaty words. I mean, we have children here. What do they make of what we're saying? For the sake of people who are younger, I want to say this. Jesus himself did not begin his public life, his mature life, until he was 30. Until he was 30 years old. Now here in the modern world, at 18 or 21, you're old enough to vote. You're old enough to drive a car when you're 16. But still, people who are 21 have an awful lot of unfinished business when it comes to growing up. And it does seem as though it takes until just about 30 until we've dealt with all of that. And many of us don't deal with it even then. So I say that for the sake of the children and the young people, to let them know that you have time. And I say that to kind of heap coals on the heads of the rest of us who are over 30 and are still living like children, who think we can go to God and cry because our egos hurt. You know, the ones that are supposed to die, make it better. Make me feel better about this false self, this idol that I have within me. Those prayers won't be answered. Deny yourself and follow me to the cross, and make every encounter that makes you doubt yourself, that makes you begin to feel like maybe you're not good enough all by yourself, make that into an opportunity to lay down your life and put an end to that way of living, to realize that that is what you are supposed to realize, that there is a life beyond that, a life of freedom from trying to be God for yourself. It is fun to be able to worship yourself as a kind of idol, but it's a heavy burden to try to live your life as God. Nobody can pity you enough. You suffer so much. That kind of suffering can come to an end. You know, we can see children who put themselves through needless suffering by selfishness when it's so simple. If they would just give in and do the way they ought to do, there would be no problem. It's all made up and in their mind. And little do we realize that we do exactly the same thing on a grand scale. But everybody's supposed to take it seriously when it's about us. If we happen to be 35 or 45 or 55 or 65 or older, it's serious. Why? Because we're older. If we're still living like children, and some of us even claiming to be Christians and yet refusing to die to ourselves and live a life beyond the death of an inner person for whom nothing and no one is as important as me. And we can see ourselves acting in that way with other people. And just going and confessing and saying, look, I noticed, you know, that I've acted this way, and I want to ask God to forgive me for it. And then the priest gives you the blessing, and you go right back to the same life. That's not repentance. Repentance means the death of the one who finds it acceptable to live in that kind of way. And you don't have to waste all your time feeling sorry. You know, for that false person who doesn't even exist, incidentally, because there is life beyond the death of that false old Adam. To be a Christian means to die like Christ, so that we can arise and live a life that is a sharing of his life. That's the only kind of Christian life there is. That's what he came in order to make it possible for us to do. And when we're young, what can we do? We can learn to act like grown-ups. Learn to act like Christ. Life isn't about getting your own way all the time. It isn't about having more than other people. It isn't about having the best iPhone, the most recent model. And you, the other kids, they look at yours and say, wow, and look at me. My iPhone is like, wow, 6 months old, maybe a year. And my little things that jump around, little electrons, red and green, they're not near as great as yours. And, you know, it's depressing. You know, well, you live your life like that. You can live the whole rest of your life like that. But there's always going to be plenty of junk out there produced by somebody who is living the life of a child at the top of the heap, who is going to supply those things for us. So learn to act like a grown-up. Learn to care more about things that are greater than yourself. Learn to love others. And you can start by loving your parents. That's something you can do. Love your parents. They love you. They sacrifice for you. They take care of you. They need your love. They need your affection. They need you to let them know that you love them. It means a great deal to them. And by doing that, you will be preparing yourself to be a grown-up, to live, to act like a fully mature human being. There's only one, you know, Jesus Christ. He is the only fully grown-up, mature human being. If we are not living like him, if we haven't counted a divine life shared with others as more valuable than anything else, to the point that we're willing to put an end to any kind of life that is less, then we're not fully mature as human beings. We're not fully grown up. So if we're over 30, or almost over 30, let's stop kidding ourselves with this false and phony tubing at Helen kind of piety, where we rent our cross, we come to church, we assume a pious attitude, we venerate the icons, we sing all of the right things, we dress in a special way, and have we died to ourselves? Do we put an end to the life that we can live without God and go on to live a life beyond death? When we fall down before the cross of Christ, that is why we are falling down before the cross of Christ, because it is only by the cross that we can live a Christian life. Only by putting ourselves to death in terms of our will, our lusts, our passions, our ambitions, the concerns we have for ourselves as more important than God and life itself, that's got to come to an end. And if it doesn't, it will kill us. It's killing us right now. Before thy cross, I bow down and worship. Jesus says, if you would follow me, deny yourself and follow me. We can't follow him unless we deny ourselves, unless we die to ourselves. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.